Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm out there, been up in the 40s. There are orange tulips blooming in the window of the Chatterbox Cafe that Darlene planted. Darlene, who's ambitious now with a new year coming on, she's come up with a new recipe for macaroni and cheese. It's the first new one since the late 20s, actually, since the Coolidge Hoover administration. It's got four cheeses, and it's got cream, and it's got beer, and it's got garlic. And people like it, and they even say so. It's amazing. Sunday was Valentine's Day, and Margie Krebsbach gave her husband, Carl, an article saying that snuggling releases oxytocin, this hormone, which can lower your blood pressure and which reduces the danger of depression. And she sat down next to him on the couch after supper, and she said, "Put your arm around me. Let's see if this doesn't work." So what could he do? He put an arm around her, and she sat on his lap, and she put both arms around him. And after a while, she said, "It's okay if you don't want to do this." A man has some sense after all these years of marriage, and he knows enough to say, "No, this is fine. This is good." He was in the army, Carl was, and it kind of affected him, and he's kind of a Spartan sort of a guy. He doesn't really care about his surroundings that much, but he knew enough, you know, to keep his arm around her. She said, "Really?" She said, "You know, if you have something else you need to do, just, you know, it's okay. I thought maybe you would be interested." "I am," he said, "but not quite quickly enough." He said, "Well, you don't sound like it," she said. She sat on his lap with both arms around him. She said, "Put your other arm around me." So he did. And she still detected a lack of enthusiasm for all of this. She said, "I'm sorry, I don't mean to force you to, you know, to be affectionate." He said, "No, this is fine. This is fine." She said, "Do you feel different?" Unfortunately, he said, "No." okay, she said, that's okay. So she got off his lap and she went in the kitchen and she emptied the dishwasher. She had violated a basic rule in Lake Wobegon, which is never discuss your marriage in any way, shape, or form. It's like discussing your religious faith. It only creates doubt in the back of your mind. It takes years to make a happy marriage, and in those years, you go through ups and downs, and you never know. And then, if you are lucky, after many years, you suddenly discover yourself in a state of happiness. But don't tell anybody. Basic rule, and now she knows that. She knows that. The Sons of Canute were supposed to have a Valentine's Day dinner up at the temple, but they had to cancel it on account of a fire that caused quite a bit of damage. One of the Canutes, I mean, these guys are getting old, and they're getting forgetful, and the old ladies who used to clean the place are not doing that anymore. But they've had some damage there because a water pipe froze, and a guy went to thaw it out with a blowtorch, and the sparks flew up inside the wall and started a fire. So he sprayed water up there, quite a bit of water, and that shorted out the power. And then the water up there froze, and in his frustration, he kicked the wall hard, forgetting in the dim light that he was not wearing boots, he was wearing sandals. And he broke his big toe, and then he unleashed a string of profanity, some of which had never been heard in this town before. And he reached for the light switch, not noticing that one foot was in a pool of water. And so he got an electric shock that made him forget his own name for about 2.5 minutes. And he walked out in confusion, not smelling the smoke, and so it burnt a big hole up there and burnt some of that mural of Bergen, the harbor of Bergen, and it was tragic. It was interesting, though, for other people who were not there. His name was Val Tollefson, just in case you still need to remember that, and people will be looking at him with great interest from now on. They won't ask him about it because they already know about it. They don't need to. But we're all getting older. There was a car that went through the ice on the lake. It's been warm, and the ice is, you know, a little thinner than the 11 inches that it should be. And the Soderbergs drove out on the ice, and they went through down at the south end of the lake. They went through the ice, and they got out, you know, as the car sank, but she was yelling at him. She was yelling at him. She was at the wheel, and evidently he had told her that it was all right to drive out there. A crowd gathered, attracted by her yelling, and they stood around and watched it as the bubbles came up through the water. And you could still see the roof of the car. Was not in deep, deep water. She was driving him out to his fishing shack. And then she was going to drive down to Minneapolis. And she had in the back seat a suitcase with some clothes, some heirloom clothes of her mother's, including her mother's wedding dress from many, many years ago, and also a canister which contained her mother's ashes, which they were going to scatter, according to her mother's wishes, on the bank of the Mississippi. Well, Mr. Soderbergh stood there, and he took his punishment, and Clint came out from town with the wrecker, and he parked it on shore, and he carried the grappling hook and the cable all the way out to where the car had gone through. And he has this wooden frame made from big wooden beams that he slid under the rear end of the car. And it has two hooks that will latch onto the rear axle. And then he attaches the cable to the frame, and he slowly, slowly, slowly winced it up with an audience of now about 120 people standing around the hall, each person weighing, let's say, 200 pounds. So, I don't know, 25,000 pounds of Lake Wobegon people. And meanwhile, Mrs. Soderbergh was being comforted by her friends, and the suitcase with the wet wedding dress and the canister with the remains of the mother still inside this car. And in that moment when the car finally came up and they opened the back door and retrieved these things, Mr. Soderbergh sank to his knees on the ice, and he knelt down with his forehead on the ice, and he was moaning, and his wife dashed over, and she said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "My heart." Well, they called 911, and in about 10 minutes, the volunteer fire department was out on the ice in the fire truck, and they put the oxygen mask on him, and they listened to his heart, and they called Dr. DeHaven, who drove out on the ice in his Cadillac, and he listened to Mr. Soderbergh's heart, and he said that he probably should go to the hospital, and so an ambulance came out, and now you had the car itself, and you had the doctor's car, and the fire truck, and the ambulance, and Clint drove the wrecker out to tow the car into the garage, and Mrs. Soderbergh got in the ambulance with her husband. She had been cursing him moments before, and now she was weeping at the thought of losing him. And in all this excitement, the canister was brought out, and it was set down on the ice by the hole, and a man went to pick it up after the Soderberghs had left in the ambulance. A man went to pick it up, and the ice cracked right there, and it fell into the water, the canister, the lid of which had not been taped. So, Mother was accepted into nature. She was accepted into the water. It was not what she wanted, but she became inseparable from us. She did not approve of us. She looked on us as sort of low-grade, uneducated people. And she never approved of that marriage, and now she is permanently a part of our world. There's food for thought. Food for thought here. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.